Welcome back into Sports Talk, hour number two. Steve Gell along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert in the house, along with Cullen Steele running master control, keeping us all in line over here. After the first break, we'll get into more of our Saints discussion with Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. He recently put out a piece. The 2025 Saints will go as far as Tyler Shuck and the Dak Pack will take them.
Well, I don't know. We'll take them, yes, because you're the quarterback. You, much is given, much is required, and your responsibility that comes with that. But I still think whoever wins the starting job, you cannot be discouraged with them if, they're not a winning quarterback. What's a winning quarterback? Oh, well, he lost more games than he won. Well, look at with Spencer Rattler. I mean,
look at the team around him, please.
Yes, everybody was hurt. Did he really have a chance? Please. He hadn't won a game. So that's why you got to slow your roll.
He's got his things he's got to improve on, but please don't judge him solely off of last year.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, Tyler Shuck, didn't get the recognition in college like Shedeur Sanders, but he's better than Shedeur Sanders as far as the NFL game. You know, people say like Shedeur Sanders, look, and I'm Pod Nas, I'm buddies with Deion. I'm one of the few people, I think maybe me and Troy Aikman, that threw Deion an interception and a touchdown in a real NFL game. So, I mean, nothing, you know, but I think Shedeur might have got some of his mom's genes.
Shoot, and you shared a locker room with him.
Yes, but I think Shedeur might have had some of his mom's genes. And the reason why I say that, come on, I know it's Deion's son, but he ain't Deion Sanders. Look, I'm not even a running quarterback. I ran a faster 40 than Shedeur Sanders. So to say that all of a sudden he's going to work his magic, I think he's an NFL quarterback. To say he's going to be the savior, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think, no, he's an NFL quarterback. But to say that he's worthy, like Cam Ward, a first-round draft pick, I don't necessarily see that.
A lot of teams sure passed on him, man.
Yes, and they're being objective. And the NFL is very humbling.
Right.
And then you have the opportunity. You got to take advantage when your foot's in the door. Like the next time, Spencer Rattler. Okay, didn't work out with him for his rookie season because a lot of things that influenced that. You know, it wasn't like he was by himself playing golf or tennis. No, it's a team sport, and everybody's hurt the supporting cast. But the next opportunity he has, then you have to do something. The one thing I notice about Spencer Rattler and the Fresno State, the other little guy.
Jake Haner.
Jake Haner. What I noticed, sometimes they would try and do too much. Like, all of a sudden, you might see flashes, like, boy, that was an awesome drive. Or you might say, well, they did good for a quarter and a half, but you got to do good, like, for four quarters. You know, you know who matured as a quarterback and who's on that level right now, and you don't consider him as one of the best, but, he's trusted and he's now the Raiders quarterback, Geno Smith.
Right. People Carroll. Wrote him off in the Jets.
Exactly.
What a bust.
But you watch how he plays now. I'm not saying you got to play to win the game, but he's not going to cost his team. Geno Smith, and that's one reason why Pete Carroll, I'm not saying he's the future, but like the next 1 or 2 years, yes. Geno Smith is the one guy that you got to weather the storm. You got to be able to handle adversity. And you look at his career, what he's done, he's steady. There's not enough quarterbacks. There's 32 teams, not enough quarterbacks. So that's why, you know, whoever you are, Tyler Shuck or whoever, you have the opportunity, Spencer Rattler, okay, take advantage of this opportunity, and can you lead the team?
Sam Bradford's another guy that people wrote off and had a really huge year for the Minnesota Vikings and parlayed that into a big deal with Seattle.
Well, he's a bust. Sam Darnold, he's a bust. Then look at the Vikings. And now he has another chance because he didn't finish the season strong. It's like a stock. You know, it goes up and down. And now he's a quarterback in Seattle. If he finishes strong, he might still be in Minnesota. So it's, what have you done for me lately? How many times do you hear me say that? Oh, what have you done for me lately? They could change, like, for in 1 month, in 3 to 4 weeks. Oh, you're the man? You're not the man anymore. And so that's why it's wide open. I'm kind of intrigued what's going to happen. But I think Shuck, his age, I don't know, 26, 27, thing, that's an asset.
Don't make him too old. He's going to be 26. Don't say 27,
folks. But I'm saying even if he plays 10 years, 36, 37, I mean, then I think we got the most out of him.
Right.
You tend to be more mature as a 26 and 27-year-old. Not always the case, but you tend to be more mature at 26 or 27 than when you're 20, 21, 22, just because your life experiences and, oh, look all the adversity he's faced. So, no, he's going to be well-grounded.
Yeah, I don't like it, the fact that people laugh at the fact, oh, 7 years in college.
Well, it's just opportunity to deal with adversity and injuries, so it has nothing to do with it. Why you want to, especially the quarterback position, that's why the same thing with Arch Manning. Why do you want to be a pro before you need to be a pro? Develop as an individual player and the maturity and like get the skins on the wall at University of Texas. And I'll tell you, that's Archie's mindset. You know, the older you get, the wisdom. I guarantee you, he said, there's nothing wrong with that college experience and getting it and playing those games. And then when you come to the pros, you're not overwhelmed. Not that Arch would be overwhelmed. You have young quarterbacks that could handle it, but that's not always the case. And so that's why let him go and have success and fun, the college lifestyle and all that, and then you go from there.
You heard in the Sports Flash Cullen Steele telling us that the tush push has been the ban has not gone through. The vote did not have enough to go against it. I think it ended up being 20-12, Cullen.
Yeah.
22-10.
22-10, sorry.
2 votes short, 24 votes would have passed, and then it would have been no more.
But yeah, we still have the tush push.
Well, what's wrong with the tush push? I mean, let me tell you why.
Why you're for it.
I'm going to tell you why I'm for it. I mean, the football was invented in the 19th century. It's a rugby-type play. You know, like a scrum?
Yeah.
When you're pushing against each other? When football was invented, Yale, Harvard, and all that. And this is, you know, the 1880s. I don't know the exact year. I have to look it up.
Leather helmets.
But, yeah. But that man against man and strength. And so that's a football play. So why other teams? Why don't you do the tush push? Oh, it doesn't work. So are you going to hold that against the Eagles? Maybe that's your fault. I don't. And there's no injuries coming about with the tush push. I mean, no, I'm for that, and good for the Eagles. I wish the Saints could do that play. That means
we do have Kellen Moore in the house now.
Now, do you have the center and the guards and all that to get that done?
And then my question is, who's the guy running the play? Is it going to be a Taysom Hill if he's able to get on the field?
Well, I don't know what his injury coming right back from that. But, no, I guarantee you, you put Taysom Hill running the tush push, you don't think he could be like Jalen Hurts behind that Eagles offensive line? I'd say not only yes, but hell yes. I mean, come on. So to me, that never should be outlawed. It's a football play. It's a part of football history.
Yeah, we can't have Jake Haner doing the tush push.
At the beginning of football, American football, when it was invented, they didn't even throw a forward pass. You know, they would pitch it back like rugby. And then it was more running. And the man against man, and you're pushing and, you know, broken noses and all that, no face masks. But so
I think we do have the center, though, in McCoy.
McCoy, yeah, well, without a doubt. Now,
we've invested in the up front, too, so we should have the Hosses up there.
No, I don't know about our right guard.
Right.
Even though we count on him. I mean, he's a starter, but I don't know if he's dominant enough from Michigan.
Right. Okay. Cesar Ruiz.
Yeah, I don't know about Cesar Ruiz. The tush push. But no, McCoy, the right guy. I would think that I'll tackle. We put him at guard because he can run block.
Kelvin Banks?
No. The guy that hasn't been successful. The one from
Trevor Penning.
Trevor Penning. I think he might be good at that because, you know, he's overly aggressive and wanting to push. That might be something that he could be good at. But
let out some of his anger.
It has to be like that whole wedge, you know, guard, and then. And Jalen Hurts obviously got strong legs, and he can run. That makes a difference.
Yeah, right, there's not many QBs like him.
Right now, I don't know if we have that kind of. No, that would be a Taysom Hill play, not necessarily right. Our other quarterbacks are running that play. So, but I don't think it should be outlawed. I think it's good. Hey, you know, just because the Eagles use that to their advantage, well, other teams, you have the same opportunity. You see it on film. And then, you know what, also, you could line up with that and do trick plays. You know how you can, you know, fake it, maybe like doing two. And then,
like a flip.
Yes, and you get outside. So, no, they did that right. I don't think they should outlaw that play.
We did see that who was it that tabled the playoff seeding rule? It was
Detroit. They tossed it up and then rescinded it.
Well, I don't know. I'm more a proponent of the best record should. Now, if you win your division, yes, obviously going to. That doesn't mean you should host a game. Like, you remember we had to go to Seattle?
Right.
And we won three more games than them. Well, we should have been playing at home. But, you know, the owners want to fight where, no, if you win the division, you get to host a home game and all that. But I think the record should speak volumes.
I'm wondering if this playoff seeding gets revisited when we finally get to the 18-game schedule.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see because that's what, you know, more money.
It's and coming.
Yeah, that has to be collectively bargained. But as far as, I mean, well, what do you take? You think because if the Saints win the NFC South, they should be able to host. I'd rather go be rewarded with the record.
See, to me, then I wonder if do you totally do away with divisions and you just have the NFC and AFC?
Yeah, then you well, you have divisions. You can still have the divisions and do NFC, AFC, but then why not still use the record? I mean, I know you're rotating. Like, we play in, what, the AFC East and all that, how that rotates when you play a team. But to me, the record should be in the forefront.
What we're going to do right now, step away, take a break. When we get back, our Saints discussion continues. Jeff Duncan, the columnist for the Times-Picayune, and NOLA.com drops in. You can sound off, too, with the Cajun Cannon in the house. Oakland Heart Jewelers, talk and text line 504-260-1870. WWL, be back right after this. We've been talking tons of Saints football. Happy to welcome in now Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. Jeff, you ready for this OTA first session we get to see tomorrow? How you doing?
Steve, I'm doing good, and of course the New Orleans weather has warmed up just in time.
Just in time, right?
Stand out there and grill. So yeah, I might be making my way down to the cooler tent if they have that thing up tomorrow.
Well, Jeff, you think Kellen Moore, you know, he wants to be able to handle the elements and be outside. That he might say, well, we can get more done if we go inside. I know we're not against that if that ever occurs, especially if we can be with that a new addition. You know how we went. And boy, we could overlook practice from there. That'd be ideal inside.
Bobby, you know, I was on Team Greenbrier, man. I'm ready to go back to West Virginia. Those nice hills, that was beautiful.
Yeah, but you got to win. You got to win, and they went to California last year, and you didn't win, so you're back in Metairie. But, Jeff, looking at now OTAs and minicamp, and when you're trying to break down, okay, because you always look at the quarterback position and the quarterback position, and boy, that's a pretty interesting. When you came up with the Dad Pack and the Houdat Nation Dad Pack, and you look at the young quarterbacks they're counting on, and when you think about it, man, this is the NFL. This didn't happen too often. I think you might have gave a couple of examples. Mickey Lewis was part of this, maybe in '93 with the Seahawks, and in Carolina in 2001. That I don't know. We got quarterbacks on the roster. They ain't won a damn game in the NFL.
I know. It's rare what they're doing. I think part of it is because of circumstances with the late nature of Derek Carr's retirement and then finding out late about his injury. It kind of left them with very few other options, right? Most of the other quarterbacks they might have thought to bring in found homes with other teams. So I kind of agree with them at this point, though. Let's see what you've got at the quarterback position. You've got time. At this stage, you're probably not bringing in a guy to start as a veteran. You're probably looking at him being a backup. So you might as well, Bobby, you know this. I mean, those reps are invaluable for right. Those young quarterbacks. So any quarterback you brought in right now would be taking reps away probably from those guys. So let's see what you have. And then if midway through training camp you don't like what you see, then maybe you make a call to a Carson Wentz or somebody to come in and maybe compete. But I think right now they want to get as many reps as they can from these young guns.
Now, Jeff, you know, I've been on this bandwagon. I think that ship has sailed, and who knows where it's sailing to. It might be to retirement, whatever. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the lone, I'd say, free agent that you would say, you know, you bring up Carson Wentz, and I was reading the article where, like, Tyler Hunter, Huntley, Case Keenum, they're veteran free agent quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers has that star power. And I was reading where that the consideration, not necessarily that according to his sources, maybe that the Saints would be interested in him. But that would be, now, he said, I'm not worried about OTAs. Whenever I sign, it's going to be after OTAs. Is it with the Steelers, whatever? But if, let's say, these quarterbacks are not quite ready for prime time, is Aaron Rodgers definitely not, would never be in the mix? Is that a fair assessment with that?
From what I understand, it's not at the top of their list. You know, they don't know if it would be a good fit for either side, to be honest with you. And it does make a little sense, right? I mean, Kellen Moore's
the youngest coach.
Yeah, he's 36 years old, Bobby. I mean, he's the youngest head coach in the league. He's probably doing all he can just to keep his head above water. He's drinking from a fire hose as a head coach right now. And then you bring in Aaron Rodgers, who's just going to have, let's face it, I mean, he's a two-time MVP. He's won Super Bowls. He likes to do things his way. That, I think, that interjects an entirely new dynamic into the equation, not only for Kellen Moore, but the entire locker room. And I just don't know if that's the right fit right now. And I would say this as well. I think if Aaron Rodgers isn't going to Pittsburgh, which it doesn't sound like he is now, I don't think he's going to go anywhere until something happens. I think your point is valid, Bobby. He's the kind of guy that's probably going to pick and choose where he goes, and it's going to be a place that maybe has an injury this year and they need a starter, and he's going to step right in. But I don't think it's a place like New Orleans, which is in a full-blown rebuilding mode. That's really not married up to what I think Aaron Rodgers' goals are right now.
Now, Jeff, you look at the quarterback room right now with the Saints, and you're talking about the refs are so important, OTAs and minicamp. I remember being in there, and they're so valuable. Now, it's not – you're competing. Now, you're going against the same guys day in and day out, but you're still going against NFL players. But the point being, the expectations from the fan base. Look at Spencer Rattler. He's behind the eight ball. Everybody was hurt, and he hasn't won an NFL game, but you have to look at the supporting cast and all that. You might say, well, but young quarterbacks have worked out elsewhere. And you brought up the example of the success of rookie quarterbacks Jayden Daniels with the Commanders and Bo Nix and Sean Payton in the Broncos. But I think you make a great point. You look at the supporting cast, but supported by veteran teammates in that quarterback room. So how do you break that down? Because even Drew Brees said that it just seems like, because you know what would hit the fan if you don't have, like, been there, done that before. Now, Kellen Moore, and then you have experienced coaches that have played the quarterback position. But how would you break that down if you don't have that veteran quarterback presence, let's say, come the end of training camp, preseason, and ultimately in the regular season, that you might say, well, look what Jayden Daniels accomplished in Bo Nix. But I just look at, I don't know, where do you look at our roster compared to, let's say, the Commanders or the Broncos, when they went with those rookie quarterbacks? And Tyler Shug might be the guy. Spencer Rattler, they're going to let him compete and made a best man win. But how do you view that, the success? I just don't see this team having the success and the turnaround like with the Commanders, with Jayden Daniels or even Bo Nix, that this would occur. I think if we win 7 games, I think it's a good season. And there's nothing to write home about if you're 7-10.
I think, Bobby, if you gave truth serum to a lot of the Saints coaches and executives, they would say the same thing. They're never going to say publicly 7 wins and maybe Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler proving that they can be an NFL starter. That would be, to me, a successful season for the Saints this year. But I don't think they would ever admit that publicly, but I think you're spot on. And I think you alluded to it. When I've talked to people with the organization, they feel like ideally they would have a veteran in this quarterback room, but because of the late nature, it just doesn't, it's not a top priority for them now. But I think the experience that they have on the coaching staff at the quarterback position between Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier, Scott Tolzien, Scott Linehan, I mean, they all played quarterback, and most of them in the NFL, right. That will help them. That will help play that role that you're talking about as a veteran presence. It won't be the same as having a player, but they do have rare, extensive experience at the quarterback position that might be able to help that transition. But let's face it, Bobby, I mean, you know this. I mean, you played in the league. there's going to be growing pains. I don't care who wins this job. If one of these young guys is who they go with, I mean, there are going to be some rough experiences. Every quarterback in the league has it. Go back and look. Troy Aikman went 0-11 his first 11 starts as a rookie, and
hey, Jeff, I can tell you, Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson's very first game in 1989, we played in the Superdome. We beat him 28-0. 28-0, Troy Aikman. The only game Dallas won that year, Steve Walsh is the quarterback. They were 1-15. Think about that.
Wow.
You got to have patience. They were 1-15. They beat the Redskins. They beat Washington, and Steve Walsh, the quarterback. Troy Aikman wasn't even the quarterback. So let's say it's like, you know, instant gratification, you know, drive-through society. Oh, and he can't play. That's why Spencer Rattler, I don't know. You got to wait and see opportunity, because if you'd had that approach to Troy Aikman, he never even would have played in the NFL.
I think you have to give Spencer Rattler almost a mulligan for last year. And look, I'm a believer. I mean, I've seen this kid. I mean, he's a competitive guy. He's not going to hand this job over to Tyler Shuck. I just think that, Tyler Shuck was handpicked pretty much by Kellen Moore.
Yeah, great point.
To be this guy, and that's going to give him an edge, I think, in a lot of ways. But they're not going to hand it to him, and he's going to have to win this job. But I think he starts off in the lead position, if that makes any sense. And if they're even, I think Shuck will end up getting the job.
Now, Jeff, I don't know. We went to me because of experience, and we were not worried at this time last year with the cornerback position room. So we might be in the conversation one of the best, definitely top five in the whole NFL. You look at Paulson, Adebo, Lattimore, and all the experience we had then. Boy, how times change in 1 year. And all of a sudden, Adebo's now with the Giants. Lattimore gets traded to Washington. And then you're like, okay, who are we counting on now at cornerback? And, you know, it's a pass-happy league. Now, first off, I think we got to stop the run, because when you won before last something, you're not stopping the run. So, you know, everyone's focused on the quarterback, and the offense is like, okay, what are we going to do defensively? That's a big responsibility there also, as far as how we're going to contribute to help us win in that regard. Okay, can we stop the run, and can we cover people?
Look, I could not agree more. I think, this is a whole new defensive scheme. It's going to take a few years, I think, for them to transition to get the right personnel on that side of the ball. So in the meantime, Brandon Staley has got to patch this thing together and make it work with probably some misfit toys at different spots along the front seven. And then your point about the cornerback position is so valid. That went from being a strength to what could be considered a weakness right now. Bobby, you know these opposing quarterbacks, they're going to go after Kool-Aid McKinstry and Alante Taylor until they can prove that they can hold up. Now, I think they're going to play a more zone under Staley than they did under Dennis Allen. He liked to play a lot of matchup zone, but there's a lot of unproven commodities there. Everyone now feels like they've had to kind of a domino effect, move up a spot in the cornerback pecking order, and I'm not sure anyone's proven yet that they can be a lead shutdown corner in this league the way Marshon Lattimore did.
You know, Jeff, I can remember these names come to mind. I cannot forget because, when you're setting up a game plan, you're going, you're always trying to attack the weak link, the chess match. I remember when I was with the Saints going against Atlanta, Charles Demery from UNLV. I think I might have thrown 8 touchdown passes against him. Whoever he was covering, just go after him. Floyd Turner was burning him. And then I remember number one draft pick out of Oregon with the Saints, Alex Molden, when he was a rookie. Yep. Okay, who is he guarding? And then you'd always win. So that's why when you look at right now how the matchups and when you had Lattimore, then you had even the Debo, how he'd get a little handsy. But then right now, you can go across the board. But you might have a lot of options against the Saints secondary. So you better get a pass rush or something to disrupt the quarterback, because I'm concerned with that, that all of a sudden it seems like, well, offense is kind of – we're hanging in there. But hopefully it's not the case. We cannot afford to be in shootouts. We can't stop nobody. So
I would say this. I'll say this, Bobby. I mean, if you're looking for hope and you're a Saints fan, and who isn't at this time of year, I think the one thing you might hang your hat on is that we've seen in the past when there's a coaching change that some players will blossom that maybe had not under the previous coaching staff. And I'm thinking of guys like maybe a Brian Brzee or,
right,
you know, even someone like an Isaiah Foskey that just seemed lost. You never know. I mean, I remember it happening here under Sean Payton with Devery Henderson and John Stinchcomb.
Right.
Neither one of them had done that well, and all of a sudden they were very good players. Look at last year with Zach Bond, who everyone thought was a bust here, and he goes to a different staff, and he ends up being an all-pro. So maybe we see some progress from some of these players in these last few drafts that really haven't produced, and people are wondering if they're bust or whatever you want to call it, right, maybe this staff will get something out of them.
You know, can Isaiah Foskey, like you're saying, Zach Bond, how about Caden Ellis?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, what he's done with Atlanta. Yeah, so again, you have opportunities. Can you take advantage of that? And the new coaching staff, and they don't know you, so you got to go and prove it. You know, what have you done for me lately? And then what you producing to warrant, reps or to have an opportunity. All I know is Isaiah Foskey. When I look at him, I mean, like, and he set all kind of records at Notre Dame. I said, is that the same guy? I mean, is this an imposter? Because, Jeff, we think, like, to rush the passer and all that, and the influence. You know what's crazy? I was looking at this, getting ready for the show today, is that you look at the NFC South. That is one area that all the teams, whether it's the Saints, Falcons, Tampa Bay, or Carolina, how they influence the pass rush. How are we going to rush the passer? You know the one team that addressed that and they all in is the damn Falcons. Look what they did. Because everybody, I was looking at all these scouting reports, you know, well, we got to get the pass rush better. We got to get the pass rush better. It's all four NFC South teams. So it seems like Atlanta's all in, hoping these young guys can work out for them in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Tampa Bay might have the best rush of the four, but it's not up to NFL standards. I agree with you. Whoever plays the best defense of these teams might have the inside track to win in the division.
Jeff, always appreciate your time, man. See you out at practice tomorrow.
All right, Jeff. Always looking forward. I want to tell you about my trip to Istanbul and in Athens. I mean, it was.
I'm ready for it, Bobby. We'll be talking tomorrow. Thanks for having me on, guys. I look forward to it.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, the columnist for the Times, Picayune, and NOLA.com. Bobby mentioned the 2025 Saints will go as fires. Tyler Shuck and the Dat Pack take them. That article you can check out at NOLA.com right now. Going to take a break. Be back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk, doing our bet 365 triple option feature right now. Guys, I am happy to be talking about a new award coming to the NFL. NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent announced today that the league's introducing the Protector of the Year Award. That's going to be given to the players, the top offensive linemen in the league. The winner of the Protector of the Year Award will be determined by a committee of some pretty good former NFL offensive linemen. Will Shields, Andrew Whitworth, Jason Kelsey, Charles Bentley, Sean O'Hara, Orlando Pace, retired players who are going to take part in this selection process. Not enough love is given to the offensive linemen, so I'm glad there's an award coming for them.
Well, Protector of the Year, how about Protector and Pancake? I mean, because a Protector means like that you, like a dancing bear and you're a good pass protector. But the combination, to me, it has to be I'm a dominant run blocker and pass
protector.
Might also
flatten the guys.
Because protector sounds too soft. You know, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like the Pancake Award, offensive line. Wouldn't that sound more sexy? I don't know, Pancake.
We should put you on the committee.
Like when you put somebody on their neck. I mean, now you don't have to do that in the NFL chicken fight. You just have to occupy your defensive player because you want to be an outstanding pass protector, but you also want to be able to, we can run right behind that cat because he's kicking that dude's behind right in front of him. So that sounds to me too soft, like protector. I mean, how about Dominator or something?
Yeah, I like the Pancake Block Award for sure.
Yeah, but you know, that's not politically correct. I don't know, Protector. Is it protecting the quarterback? I mean, you know, let's put a dress on him. You can't hit him and take him to the ground anymore.
Well, at least some love coming to O-line.
Yeah, exactly. They need a lot of love coming to the O-line because I'm telling you, the game has not changed. even though we well into the 21st century, that the game has not changed where it's still won in the trenches.
Right.
Offensive and defensive line. You know, the Saints cannot be one before last against stopping the run. That ain't good. No, we got to get back to where we were stopping the run in the top five, then you have a fighting chance to get the double-digit wins.
Now, from the football field, I know your triple option. You want to go to the racetrack.
Oh, no, this is intriguing because I like crowds. I like a festive atmosphere. You know, when you got Draft Fest, you got Jazz Fest, you got French Quarter Fest. We got a festival every time, every weekend here in the Big Easy. But I like this crowd. This is on my bucket list. I've never been there. I've been to Daytona 500. You know, I want to go to the Kentucky Derby. You know, you and I were talking about that.
Right.
But the Indy 500, Indianapolis 500, you know, I don't know, Hebert, what is, but announced their first sellout since 2016. No, people don't care about racing. I actually watch sometimes on a world scale. You go around the world, Formula One. And all that. You look at Ferrari and all that, the whole thing. And
got a Brad Pitt movie coming out soon.
And the Red Bull and all. You look at all the McLaren and all the competition there. But you look at the Indianapolis 500 has sold out its grandstands. Now, you're talking about a stadium. Because, you know, I like massive stadiums. You know, you're playing before 100,000
right,
people.
Impressive venue.
You look at Tiger Stadium. Like 100,000. You look at all the biggest venues. I was just... You know, I'm telling you, so I was just in Athens, the first modern-day Olympics. It looks like the Horseshoe, Ohio State, but I think it held like 70,000 where they had that. So I said, look at it. The people have always wanted to be entertained, whether it's gladiators, we're the modern-day gladiators now. So wherever you were, these ancient societies, they've always had stadiums, you know, where people, you got to control the masses, and they want to be entertained. And whether how you were controlling them, whatever. But looking at the Indianapolis 500 has sold out its grandstands for the first time in nearly a decade. And there's no longer, remember the old TV blackouts? Oh, no, yeah, it's sold out. But it takes a lot to sell out if you're in Indiana, in the suburbs around there. But the local TV blackout has been in place since 1951 and has been lifted so fans in central Indiana will be able to watch the race live, that being the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indianapolis 500. You know what their grandstands hold?
How many?
230,000 people. 230,000 grandstand seats had sold out. General admission, now infield tickets are still available. So they're expecting a crowd of 350,000 race fans or about. One of every 1,000 people living in the U.S. will be at the track. And we all know the 109th running off of the Indianapolis 500 is the greatest spectacle in racing. Now, you know, it's about hitting it right and the atmosphere. Fox.
Right.
Fox has just all of a sudden got the broadcasting rights. This will be the broadcasting race for the first time. And it's going to be sold out so they can film the atmosphere, go in the crowd, what do you think, and all that. So, no, I'm kind of intrigued. Now the Indianapolis 500. I don't know, Will Powers or whoever you might think, or whoever you like, the Indy 500. But that's a part of the United States. That's a part of history. All I know is when you have 230,000 people in the grandstands and you're expecting 350,000 people at an event, I think that's a big time, to say the least.
Cullen, you are finishing out our triple option.
Yes, I'm taking us from Bobby's bucket list back to the NFL. HBO and NFL Films announced earlier today this year's in-season Hard Knocks will feature the NFC East with Bobby's beloved Dallas Cowgirls. I know you're going to be pumped about watching them. Hopefully, you know, by like week 7 or 8, you're watching, you know, Jerry Jones have a fit on TV and Dak Prescott, you know, get another injury, something
right.
like that. Also, you know, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Commanders. I'm more psyched about those three than the Cowgirls. And then obviously the training camp edition is in Buffalo this year with the Bills.
Yeah, usually I feel like it's one of the lesser teams in the league.
There's always that rule. I bring it up every time we get around to this time of year. You can't have been in the playoffs in like the last couple years,
yeah.
But I think they're starting to do away with that. You can't have been on the show in the last 10 years, and you can't be like a first-year head coach kind of deal.
But think about that. the Buffalo Bills are intriguing. You know, Josh Allen. I mean, I want to know a little bit more about Josh Allen. You know, right. He seems like a country boy. I mean, he's like a lumberjack, University of Wyoming. You know, sometimes you might want to say, I want to see if he's going to open up, be a little more. And the Bills are relevant because they're always in the hunt. But when the hell the Bills have won? They've never won. They never won a Super Bowl. You know what's crazy? They went, now you think about this. Look at Jim Kelly. And all Marv Levy going way back. You go to four. Think about this. As a Saints fan, I think I would take this. Let's say in the future, that in the next 10 years, we would go to four straight Super Bowls but never win. But that means you're supporting a winner. You're in the hunt. Now, you might...
That's some heartache, though, Bobby.
No, you might develop an ulcer, but we already won one. We already won a Super Bowl. But the Bills have never won. So that's why the Bills are intriguing to me, that because they're a blue-collar, they're a Yankee blue-collar team. Upstate New York is not New York City. Come on.
We're running late, taking a break here. That was our triple option feature, folks. Going into the top of the hour news break here on WWO. When we get back, we'll be going around the NFC start. Our trip starts with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next hour. Then we'll check in with the Falcons and Panthers as well. So stay tuned for more right here on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat?